Welcome to End Time Chronicles podcast with Brother Eben. This podcast discusses issues regarding the end times and the things unfolding and things about to unfold. We are living in very uncertain times and information is very critical these days. You can download or listen to this podcast on spiritissues.info. Now, let's join today's edition.
These are the end of days, what the Bible says about the day of the Lord. And the whole world shake, the big earthquake when he returns. Could be a nuclear war, what the prophet saw, till you wonder where your help come from. Look up, your redemption draw near. Come the man of peace, come the mark of the beast, the tribulation. Don't you be surprised when the Antichrist give a deception. And you see nation rise against nation, abomination of the desolation. Look up, your redemption draw near. Where he draws near, he will wipe away your tears. When he draws near, he'll give you faith, kick all your fears. Look up, your redemption draws near.
Welcome to End Time Chronicles podcast. This is Eben, and it's been a while. I did the recording, and I've been a bit off for a while regarding the podcast recordings. But I've resumed, and in this series of three recordings, I believe, is going to be about the book of Revelation, chapter 13, primarily. And this is very important to talk about now, because this is the season where this verse or this chapter is becoming very popular. People are discussing about it and all that. Unfortunately, I am seeing a very biased focus on only a verse or two in this whole chapter. And that, I believe, is very unfortunate, because as believers, we have to divide the word of God rightfully. And we can't just skip portions, large portions of a chapter, and concentrate only on a verse or two and just use it to make a case and conclude that Bible prophecy is being fulfilled. Clearly, the entire chapter has relevance in Bible prophecy. God, in his own wisdom, has aligned and arranged these words in the Bible for us. Each verse has a purpose and a meaning. Each verse has a reason for it being in the book. Each verse tells a message and gives a message. The entire chapter is a sequence of events. It gives a timeline of events. It talks about personalities. It talks about the end time system, the Antichrist system, that will come into being together with the personalities within the system. So it's not just a few verses that makes that chapter being concluded, as we are seeing this being fulfilled in our time and all that. We should study and discuss the entire chapter in its entirety. So when you start from verse 1, you move to 2, 3, down to the very last of that chapter, last verse in that chapter, then the entire chapter will have a clearer meaning, and the picture and the prophecy will be better understood. I believe this is one missing link in a lot of the discussions I've been seeing online and all around the place, because yes, we are having full discussions in some instances, few instances, but most of the talk is based on just a verse or two. And I believe that's the reason why we should get back to the Bible. But the main reason why I felt led to get this discussion going in this podcast or this series of podcasts is one dream that someone sent to me some weeks ago. And in it, this person was alluding to the fact that, yes, Bible prophecy in Revelation 13 gives a timeline that the Antichrist comes before the mark of the beast comes. But in our time, as it is now, the devil has played a smart move and has preceded the Antichrist coming with the mark first. And I said, no, come on. I mean, let's hold on to this, because we cannot rearrange the word of God in the light of what we think should be the case. If the Bible says A comes before B, and B comes before C, and C will precede D, that is what it is. A, B, C, D. We cannot, under any circumstance, come with B, A, D, C, and say that is the standard now. If the Bible has it as A, B, C, D, then we must see it as A, B, C, D. We must accept it as A, B, C, D. So clearly we cannot have a man coming out of nowhere to say that it's now B, A, C, D, because he or she saw it, and the meaning she gathers from it is that now it's been changed from B before A, and then C and D follows. Clearly, that doesn't work when it comes to Bible prophecy, and that doesn't also fit when it comes to the Word of God, because Bible prophecy is the sure word of prophecy. The Word of God is what it is. Men can make mistakes with their misinterpretation of words. Men can make mistakes with how misunderstandings they would have, even about the dreams they would have, because humans are humans and the Word of God is the Word of God. So there's no way a dream can override the Word of God. Every dream, vision, prophetic word must align with the Word of God. The Word of God should be the ultimate reference point. So if you have dreams, it doesn't matter the number of people who get dreams that do not align with the Word of God, then the Word of God should be the ultimate point to stick to. And this is where we have to be very careful, because, you know, there's this page sometimes I visit online, and they have dreams and prophetic warnings from various people. It's a collection of dreams and visions. It's an online website. And sometimes I'm amazed as to, on that same site, you read contradictory messages, contradictory dreams and prophetic words. So you ask yourself, so who is saying the truth and who is saying the lie? Which one is from God and which one is not from God? I mean, clearly we cannot have two separate messages, opposite, contradicting each other, and both coming from God. It cannot be so. The word of God should always correspond and align with one. The word of God should collaborate or confirm with one side of the whole, set of messages that will come, be it revelation, prophetic words. So if now you have the discussion, some are dreaming, some are saying the vaccine is the mark of the beast, others are saying no, it's just the precursor, it's just the leading beginning point of it. So what do we do? Some say if you take it, you are doomed for life. Others say that no, that's not what God is showing them, is also different. So what do you do? In the midst of such confusion, my principle is simple. Get back to the Bible and stick with the Bible. What does the Bible say? What does the Word of God say? In such a scenario, what do you see in the Word of God? What has Bible prophecy written? What has been foretold? How has it been arranged? What has been, the Word of God should be a reference point, as I said earlier. So let's get into it. Revelation chapter 13. Let's start from verse 1. And, the early part talks of referencing Daniel chapter 7 and talking about introducing the Antichrist. So, Revelation chapter 13, where we start with. And I stood upon the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rise out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. So this is talking about the Antichrist coming up. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and the mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him, emphasis him, his power, him, a personality. The beast in this case here in verse 2 is not a kingdom. This is the person, the Antichrist, And this is where we have to get some of the things right, because if we don't get some of these things right, then it affects the way we would interpret Bible prophecy. So this is a personality, him. And then verse 3. Okay, so verse 2. So, he gave him his power and his seat and great authority. So Satan is virtually going to empower this personality, this political leader who is going to arise and give him his seat and great authority. That means this is Satan in disguise, working through a man to execute his evil agenda in the last days. These things are going to happen before the coming of the Lord. Christians have over the years debated this and over and over and over. But I believe perhaps if there was ever a time to stop these discussions, it should be now, because we are seeing obviously that things are shaping up clearly towards the Antichrist system. His kingdom is being set up gradually in preparation for him. The New World Order is obviously the system that he is going to superintend over. And any observant person clearly can see that this system has been in the works for quite some time now. The globalists haven't hidden their agenda. As a matter of fact, there are some former occultists who have become Christians, if you listen to some of their testimonies and all, who talk about the fact that they know the times, they know that the Antichrist will come, the man 666 and all these things. They know it in the occult realm. They know it. So it's not something that is like a mysterious thing that no one knows about, that is not going to happen or going to happen, not sure. It is a known thing even within the circles of the globalists. And they've been working towards it. They've been working clearly, because the devil knows clearly who he's going to empower. And this thing is something which at the right time, everything would unfold. So we are talking of a political leader who would assume power, global power. And if you read further, you realize that the world would accept him. Clearly, he would come at a time when the world would be looking out for solutions, for someone to bring peace onto the world. And this is when he would arise with power and the world would embrace him because he is bringing the peace and the solutions that the world is eager and hungry for. So at a time when he comes, the world will not reject him. The world will rather embrace him. So let's go forward. Verse 3, it says, "And I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast." All the world, you know, for the description in verse 1, 2, 3, which also has portions in Daniel chapter 7. I think at another time, I would really find time to do that aspect of the Daniel prophecy and all that. But for this purpose, let me just glance through and then address the salient points in there. And he says, "And all the world wandered after the beast." All the world. All the world. Worldwide, he would be celebrated. He would trend. I mean, he would go viral, social media, accepted, news networks. I mean, everyone. But if you go further down, it talks of those who would not wonder after him, those who would not worship him and all that. But see, so it gives this whole passage we are reading, it's trying to paint a certain picture of the state of the world at the time when the Antichrist comes. So see, he will be popular. He will be loved by the world. He will draw the support of the world. Now, let's get to verse 4. "And they worshipped the dragon which gave power unto the beast." So people are going to openly worship Satan. I mean, the dragon is Satan. He would be worshipped. Satanic worship is not going to be in private and in secret. It will be an open show. "And they worshipped and gave," I mean, "which gave power unto the beast." And they worshipped the beast. So they worship Satan and then now worship the beast, this personality. Don't forget that Satan has always been seeking human worship. He's always been seeking worship. He's always sought to be like God. So anything that would give him human worship, that means that God is losing that worship. He would want to, you see, he seeks to provoke and try to do something to, like, I mean, I'm trying to hurt God. So yes, instead of humans worshipping you, God, they are worshipping me. And they are worshipping my indirect assistant or whatever that I've empowered, in this case, the Antichrist. And so they worshipped the beast. This worship is not figurative or symbolic something. This is going to be a real activity that would happen. This is not symbolism. This is a real event, series of things that will happen. Worshipping is going to be part of the Antichrist agenda and the system. People are going to worship him physically. Physically. You see, when we assume that these things are just symbolic, then we can miss the key points in these chapters, you know, in these verses. So the worship of Satan and the dragon is going to really be an obvious and open show. And they were even there and said, saying, "Who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him?" I mean, you can imagine, you know, who people will question. You can imagine CNN, BBC, the news networks, the presenters, you know, bragging about his personality. Who is powerful like this man? Who can dare him? Who can make war with him? You know, ultimately, the attack and the tone of all this is towards God. Daring God. That's all this whole... You see, Satan is obviously trying to provoke, trying to draw crowds from God, trying to say that, yes, he is also God. So, let's get on. And then, verse 5, it says that, and there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies. He's going to say, Daniel talks of Father, he's going to dark sayings and also blasphemies. Daniel also talks about the same thing. And power was given unto him to continue for 42 months. So he's going to operate for 3.5 years. So for 3.5 years, you see, it's not like a one day show that he has just come. That is it. Everything that's happening within the day. No. He is going to be around for 3.5 years within this period. So you see, it's very possible that he will start and nothing much will be happening in terms of publicity. Things will be a bit on the low key and all that. So it's not just that within a day, everything is happening. But the fact is that he will be known when he comes onto the scene, because he will be coming at a time when the world will be expecting him to come and fix a problem of peace. You see, so if you've been aware, or you've been monitoring or following the world events, these globalists are seeking to create a chaotic world that would demand the solution of a peacemaker. So they've been pushing the buttons. If you follow closely, they've been pushing the buttons through this COVID, to use it to create the Great Reset, the New World Order. I mean, they are not hiding it. I mean, they say it. But people, obviously overlook some of these key things they talk about. So this Great Reset and all that, it's all towards resetting the world system, creating a system where it will be possible for the Antichrist to then be, introduced. And clearly that's what we are beginning to see, where the world is virtually at the point where his coming is not too far from now. I mean, the system is getting ready for him gradually. Yes. He hasn't come. He's not been officially released, revealed or unveiled to us yet. But we are seeing signals, because the spirit of Antichrist, yes, according to the Bible, has been around for all this while, but there has been an increase of his activities. The spirit of Antichrist is really obviously at work in larger levels and at much stronger levels than it's been before. So, yes, the worship, the dragon, who gave power unto the beast, saying who is like unto, and then he speaks great things, that's verse 5, for 3.5 years he's going to operate. Now, verse 6, and he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name, his tabernacle, and them that dwell in heaven. Let me quickly read 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And get to verse, it talks of the fact that let no man deceive you. This verse 3, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come. That is the rapture. That day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed. Talking of the Antichrist, the son of perdition. Verse 4, who opposed and exalted himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped. You see? So, you see, he is seeking worship. So that he has God. So he is coming to say he is God. Seated in the temple of God in Jerusalem. I mean, I added Jerusalem because that's where the temple will be. Showing himself that he is God. And this is what Revelation 13 verse 6 is talking about. So he opened his mouth to blaspheme against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. Obviously, this will not be in secret. It will be worldwide. It will be broadcast, Facebook Live, YouTube Live, CNN, all of them. So he would insult God for all to hear. It will certainly be world news, trending news, viral. The tabernacle will be in focus. That means there will be a tabernacle and a temple for him to be in, that he will desecrate. Those that dwell in heaven will be blasphemed against. Of course, he's lost his place in heaven, so he's already angry with those in heaven, because he has lost his place there. Now let's get to verse 7. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints. It was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. The saints are around when he comes. As for that one, you can believe whatever you want to believe, but the saints are here when he comes. The word of God is clear. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1, 2, 3 is clear about it. And even Paul goes on to say that don't you remember I was saying that when I was there? Paul even preached this to the church in Thessalonica. Yes, Paul preached it, that they will see him. When he gave the conditions in what I just read, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3. And now we have here where he's saying that he is given the authority to make war with the saints and to overcome them. He's going to overcome the believers, the saints, through the persecution, the killings, the imprisonments, the torture, and all. And to overcome them. And power was given unto him over all kindreds and tongues and nations worldwide. He is going to have worldwide control, worldwide power and authority. So it's not just being in one country. So that means persecution is also going to be worldwide, because warring with the saints is going to, you see, mind you, he is being worshipped earlier. As we talked about, when he comes onto the scene, the whole world wandered after him. So the world is in love with him. So now, the people who are objecting to his worship and not following him, not saying good things about him, are the Christians, the saints. That's why now he is opposing them, warring against the saints. Assuming when he comes, everybody, including the believers, everybody is after him. Then that means there's everything, there's nothing to worry about, because he's getting the worship that he wants. But because some people are going to resist and say that no, the Bible says that we should worship no other man, we should worship no other God, we should bow to no other person or image, then now he gets furious. Okay, so these people are the two known people. These people are the troublemakers. These people are the ones who don't want peace in the world. Because everybody else is doing, except these so-called believers, they are refusing to do what everyone is doing worldwide. Then we have to war against them. We have to oppose them. This is all, it's a process, gradual process. So at this point now, the believers have been hunted and attacked and reported and all that, because they have refused to worship him, as being done by others and worldwide. Now let's get to verse 8. And all that dwell upon the earth, underline, all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. See, so it is only believers whose names are in the book of life who will not worship the Antichrist. Everybody would worship him except born again Christians. So you see why he's going to war against the Christians, because it's all about worship. You see, let's get the fundamentals right. You see, the coming of the Antichrist is about control, power, and worship. That's all the devil is seeking, to just come and provoke God. So the whole thing is about worship. So if everybody was going to worship him, then that means that's it. There's nothing else to fight over. But because the believers are going to resist and say, no, we'll not worship him, then this is where the problem comes in for the believers. So that's the whole essence of the persecution against believers. It's because of failure to worship the Antichrist. So the whole thing is about worship. So you see, the fundamental theme of his rule and reign is worship. That's all. You see, so when we get these fundamentals right, that the whole thing is about worship, then we can see the purpose and the reason why the mark of the beast will be instituted. So we have to get the whole sequence of events and activities and personalities right in order. And then, so you have this worldwide worship. You will be worshiped all unbelievers. Every unbeliever. So, except the person is, once the person is not born again with his name in the book of life, he would worship. So from atheists to all other religions, they are all going to worship him. Lukewarm believers who are backslided and not sure of, I mean, all those people will worship him. Because see, let's not forget that this man is going to be influential. And see, with the power of Satan in him, that means deception. He is going to be deceptive in his ways and dealings and appearance and all. So he will draw the crowds. Okay, let me end this edition here because I seek to make these ones as short as the 30 minutes. And in the next edition, I'll continue from verse 9. All right, so thank you for listening to this edition of End Time Chronicles podcast. This is Eben.